All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Always good to have you back. And did I notice that while I was walking into the sanctuary, there are some beautiful CDs that you brought with you from Heard. So yes, I did notice that. And I started listening to it, and it's wunderbar. It's wonderful. So those are my thoughts on it, and I'm trying to use that as a bridge for today's talk about becoming a thought leader. And so what is a thought leader? Actually, it's a term that's a little bit passe probably now in the business world. Has anyone heard that term, a thought leader, in regards to business? Yeah. And so in today's terms, it is about a person who is considered an expert in their field, and they are used by organizations to come forward with their great ideas, and they inspire people because of their expertise and these wonderful ideas to see what's the trend out in the future so that the company can create success for themselves. But 10 years ago, 13, 15 years ago maybe, when this term first came to mind, it was a little bit more organic. Now, I'd like for us to go, that's great, yes, the ideas, be a thought thinker, but it was more organic when it first started. And again, it was thought leaders were described as someone who writes or speaks to a public a lot. And by thought leader, people mean someone who has ideas and shares them. That's the point I really want us to go. I liked the name thought leader because too many times it is our thoughts that lead us versus us leading our thoughts and creating that way. The reality is that is the way we are created, is to know that there is a conduit of ideas, divine ideas that are out there, and we are there and created to grab them up so that we can create here on earth. Charles Fillmore in Mysteries of Genesis writes, in the first chapter of Genesis, it shows two parts of the Trinity, mind, idea in mind, and expression. So let me go back and say that the first chapter is thought and taught by Charles Fillmore to have been created and be speaking of Elohim, the all-creator God. And so when we talk about Elohim, we are talking about that creates all, that abundance that we can't function, that we can't quite grasp, but that is in everything and everyone, created in the second Genesis, Jehovah. And it was Jehovah, it's a little brainy, but I'm getting to a point. It was then Jehovah who then created Adam man. And so it says, simply put, he goes on, it is simple mind, idea in mind, and manifestation of idea. Since man is the offering of God, made in the image and likeness of divine mind, he must express himself under the laws of the great creative mind. The law of manifestation for man, which is a law of thought. And so we teach and we know that every thought is a thing, and that it is through these our thoughts that we create this world. And it started off in that we create, since we are the expressions of God, we're made in the image and likeness of God, we create as God, the great God of all the universe created, by thinking in mind. And so with the first chapter of Genesis, all those, the void and the earth and all that stuff, we teach that those were ideas. They weren't made manifest yet. These were the brilliant, beautiful ideas of what we consider divine mind. And divine mind pictured it with its imagination. And in the outpicturing of the ideas, we always remember these ideas were what? They were good. These thoughts, these ideas, these things, yes, they were good. And that's where we start off now, is now going to being a thought thinker again. What are we creating? Because we can have all of God's greatness, all the divine ideas of greatness that are good. They are just waiting there for us to grab hold of. But in all these things, what are we choosing to grab hold of? And in all these things, are our minds going overboard in creating what is creating this world of darkness? Or are we choosing to see a different light, a different way, a different manifestation that truly is good, something that we can grab a hold of? Charles Fillmore continues in Jesus Christ Heals. We can have fullness of life by realizing that we live in a sea of abundant, opulent, eternal life. And by refusing to allow any thought to come in that stops the consciousness of the universal life flow. Thoughts are things. We create our world. Are we stopping the universal life flow by creating these images that harm us, that aren't truly our authority? Do we truly have the audacity to really be able to look and see and change the world that we have all as a race? When Charles Fillmore talks about race, he isn't talking about black, white, Asian. He's talking about joint. He's talking about race consciousness. He's talking about group consciousness, humanity consciousness. As a humanity, we have created the darkness, but as a humanity, we have also created greatness. As we're thinking, are we going to allow our thoughts to think about the beauty and the joys that are there? Or are we going to continue to look at the darkness and recreate the darkness? Are we going to choose to believe in the illusion of that darkness, or are we going to move forward and believe in the truth of the light? Charles Fillmore says, by our thoughts, we are continually moving the cells of the body. The original impetus is by the conscious mind. Hence, we must regulate our thinking to the end of to end harmony, to set up the cellular life throughout our organism. You know, Charles Fillmore wrote this early 1900s. Quantum physics is now proving that this is a reality. The theory of quantum physics, and something that they're really looking at right now, is the fact that matter really isn't solid until our human minds create it. It is a free-flowing atoms, free-flowing molecules, and it isn't really anything until we see it and create it in our minds. Grab a hold of that. It's easy, it has been easy for us to say, oh yeah, thoughts create things, oh yeah, my thoughts. But this is serious, ladies and gentlemen. It's quantum physics. Our new science is showing that, yes, whatever we think, whatever we choose to see, it is like we are bewitched, wiggling our nose. We create it. That's an awesome thing to think about. I mean, when you really think about it, all of a sudden, I know with me, my shoulders kind of got a little heavy. And we had my own little come to Jesus meeting with myself, as I'm sure as a quote is. What am I thinking to create this world, my world? Go to the self first. You don't have to worry about all this, because once you come in here, you go deep in here, you realize that whatever is happening out here, you're creating it. So start within here, and this will become more light. We are geniuses, and we don't even know it. Our thoughts create beauty at all times. But we think it's for the geniuses like Albert Einstein. How many of you know that Albert Einstein, to create his theory of relativity, used a thing called thought experiments? No one knew that Albert Einstein, to come up with the relativity, the theory of relativity, created it in his mind. He outpictured everything in his mind. It started when he was 16 years of age. You know, he tried to picture in his mind what it would be like to ride alongside a light beam. And he said, if you reach the speed of light, wouldn't the light waves seem stationary to you? But Maxwell's famous equation describing The electronic waves didn't allow that. He knew that math was the language nature uses to describe his wonders. And through that, that was the stepping stone to his ideas, which it didn't happen quickly. The point here is that he constantly knew that he had this creation, this brain, and that he could place himself in reality by using the imagination and his thoughts. And through the thoughts of greatness, he was able to achieve wonderful things. So what was the thought experiment that led to Einstein's general relativity theory? He imagined a man in free fall. And to understand what he saw, he imagined a man in a closed elevator chamber that is falling towards the earth. And as I think we know from riding roller coasters, when you're free falling, you're rising, yes? You're kind of floating. And so he said, this person would float, and if there's change in your pocket, that change would float with you. On the other hand, he imagined a woman in a closed chamber who was accelerating upward in outer space, far from gravity. And what is the reaction if you're going up in the speed of light, going up high, going fast? Yes, what John just said and what he illustrated. You're pulled down. Everything is pulled down. You would feel the weight of gravity. So from this equivalence of gravity and acceleration, he constructed his general theory of relativity. He is a prime example of a thought thinker. And I know for some of us, we're like, okay, that's interesting. Crystal, I could get that, but how did he jump from one to the other? That's what makes him genius. No, what makes him genius is that he believed in his thoughts as things and realized that he could actually manifest what was in his thinking. That's where we all kind of miss the boat. That's where in life our parents or adults in our youth led us astray, patting us on our head saying, oh, cute imagination, but that's not real. Oh, that's interesting what you're thinking, but the world is like this. We have been taught through the years and still as adults continue to take in the thoughts that what we are thinking are unreality. And by God, because we're thinking that, what happens? They become unreal. They become unrealistic. And they continue to spiral in that because we are great thought thinkers. And unfortunately, our thoughts are leading us. We're no longer moving forward to what Heather described as divine order. Divine order is what was just read from Charles Fillmore. Divine mind creates idea in mind. The second chapter of Genesis is the manifestation. You create what you think. Thoughts are things. Your consciousness is formed thought. Thoughts form barriers about the thinker, and when contended for as truth, they are impenetrable to other thoughts. It's time for us to plant the seeds of new thoughts. It's time for us, okay, hold on, repent. I know, I love throwing out these old time religion phrases. But I've said this enough that what does repent mean?
Rethink.
Rethink. That's all repent means. Rethink, readjust, change your actions, change your mind. Do something different. If you don't like what is coming up in your world, if you don't like your stinking thinking, you have the power. If your monkey mind is going around and life is getting you down, and you're like, God, what's happening? Go within yourself fearlessly, shamelessly, not shamefully, shamelessly, and say, what do I need to shift within myself to create harmony, to create peace? It is time for us to shift. And so some of the things that we can do to shift ourselves, and I'll move quickly in to Buddhism. It is stated that the Buddha wrote, and it's kind of debated now, but I like it still, and I will still equate it as the Buddha said, we are what we think. All that we are abides with our thoughts, and with our thoughts we make the world. And so, the Buddha came up with this ingenious, his enlightenment was this. And I'll make it very quickly, and I suggest that you Google it for deeper understanding or find a sangha near you. He came up with the Four Noble Truths quickly, that sometimes life sucks. It's called dukkha. And it happens to us a lot. And it happens because we don't live in the now. We choose to want things that we can't have, from the past or in the future. That was the second noble truth, was we desire something that we can't have, so we go into suffering. The third noble truth is, hooray, there's good news. It's kind of like the New Testament in Jesus. Hooray, there's good news. There's a way out of this. And the way out of this is the Eightfold Path. And so I'm going to not tell you all the Eightfold Paths. I'm not going to go deeply into them. I'm just going to touch upon them as a way for you to look at them. Now, I will say, what are the Eightfold Paths? It's right understanding, correct understanding, correct thought, correct speech, correct action, correct livelihood, correct effort, correct mindfulness, and correct concentration. There's a whole lot of correctness going on there. And really, all it means is moving within self. You know, Buddhism has this thing where it's airy-fairy. And it's like, oh, you go meditate, and you go into this illusion. Buddhism is very, very practical. Buddhism is about going into the here and the now. And since we're moving late, I'm going to really condense this. It's right understanding. This is a wonderful step because it's understanding and seeing the world and everything in it as it is. See, it's the right understanding. It's seeing life. It isn't beating yourself up. It isn't flogging yourself. It isn't any of that. It's just seeing your life as it is. Not shaming, blaming yourself. Just see it. Understanding it. And it's like 12-step. When you understand what you're working with, what do you do? You do something with it. You have the ability to do something with it, right? Once you come to that truth, then you have the right intent. You have the intent that you want to do right, that you want to be in that right frame of thought so that you can create great thinking. And then you have right thought, which denotes the thoughts of selflessness. You move away from the selfish thoughts, those things of the past and those things of the future that you want to hold on to in the past. How many of us have thought, my life was great at such and such a time? My life was great in high school when I was the it person. Or college, when I was doing this or that and traveling the world. My life was great. I'd like to go back to that. That life is over with. It's time to embrace and know the truth of the now. Or going, I wish my life kind of sucky right now, but if I had, or if I could, or would have, should have, you know what I'm talking about, those of you who were here last week, then my life would be great. No. It's about looking at all the entirety. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the pretty. And moving forward in love and light, and knowing that anything that isn't quite correct isn't for you. So repent, self-correct, go into the right thinking that you need to do that, and right effort. Cultivating an enthusiasm and a positive positive attitude to move forward. To move forward with a life that you will love to love. Move forward with the life that you will enjoy living. Right mindfulness. That's a key word. We hear this is a word, mindfulness. And it is what it says. I love it. Right mindfulness means, again, being aware of the moment. Being focused on this moment so that you can create greatness. Because in this moment is what will bring your future. In this moment, if you concentrate on it, release and let go of anything that you don't want, you are changing and shifting up your world right here, right now. You have the power. And through this, you become the thought leader. You become that which leads your thoughts because you have a consciousness of what is in your thoughts so that anything that you don't like, you can change. How do you do that?
Your focus.
Yep.
And three thoughts that are blowing around you come to you.
Amen. So basically what Michael just said, what you like, keep. See what ideas are flowing through them. Understand how they are enacting and reacting to your life right now. Again, I keep saying this because it's so easy for us to go shame, blame, woulda, coulda, shoulda. They are facts of our lives that we cannot change. Appreciate the gifts that they brought and release anything else other than that. But Reverend Crystal, I did wrong. Shouldn't I be better? Yes, you should. But you're not going to be better harping on it. You're going to be better by changing it. So what do you like? You keep it. What you don't like, you release it. What is lack, removed through prayer and meditation. Keep doing that. Have faith that everything is changing in your life for greatness, because that is what we see. We keep seeing that everything in our lives are changing for the bad. No. There are things in our lives that don't seem quite right. Change it. Be that thought leader. See where thoughts are leading you. Change it. You start leading your thoughts. You start being coming from your heart, where there's compassion, where there's love. You, each and every us, each and every one of us, is made for this. Each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. And it is good. It is time for us to open our hearts, open our minds, embrace the truth that individually, each and every one of us, in our own ways, the way we look, the way we act, are individual expressions of God. Let us remember that. Let us concentrate on that. Let us grab those thoughts in the ethers of greatness, bring it into us, and bring it out into the world. I think we can all do that. You believe that?
Yes.
Are you going to act like you do?
Yes.
So when we walk out this door, and I'm saying me as well, when we walk out this door, are we going to remember that we are made in the image and likeness of God and that it is good?
Yes.
Yes. And when we walk out of this door and go through our week, we are going to then say, I'm going to act like I know who I am.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to act knowing that there is greatness, only good in the world. I'm not going to believe in the darkness or the perceived darkness. I'm going to speak the truth of greatness. I'm going to act the truth of greatness, because I'm going to see God in everyone and everything. And it's holy, not W-H-O-L. It is holy, capital H-O-L-Y. And once we see, even if that person is coming at us in rage, once we see that they are holy and that they are God, we won't allow their judgments or that anger or that other aspect of them to hurt us or harm us. But we'll be able to see them and love them with compassion. We don't have to agree with what they're saying. We don't have to take that in. But the world would be a much better place if politics, if all of us acted like that. I disagree with you, but I love you, because I know your love. I know that you are the individual expression of God, as am I. So let us go through our week remembering that just the way we are, in our beautiful ways, no matter how different we are all individual expressions of God, and that is good.
Amen.
Amen. And so let us bring in our weekly affirmation, and let's say it together. My thoughts create my reality of good. You know, let's let that settle in. We just kind of read these things, and it's like, yeah. Let us know this as we speak it, because next week we're going to talk about going from thoughts to words to help support Carrie's class, which is going to take you deeper into the knowing. Let's speak this again. My thoughts create my reality of good. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, God.